Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test. Happy, happy Tuesday to you. If it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get powered up and energized with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. Yes, it is always wonderful to be in your company every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time for our power up session. So this is where we stop by every Tuesday to get energized and powered up for the week ahead and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So looking at the calendar, we can see that this is already the last week, the final week of January 2024. Today is Tuesday, the 30th of January 2024, and the 5 weeks in January have gone by so very quickly. So this is one of the reasons that we come by every Tuesday to remind ourselves of what can we be doing today, this week, this month, to be working on those important life goals. As always, we like to start the program on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? You know, each and every morning that I wake up, I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for the life of my family members who are in good health and good spirits. So I hope that you're able to find something to be grateful for today as we start another week off together. So there's so much going on in Dominica. Again, we saw the unfortunate, untimely death of Fidina Frampton last week, Wednesday. So it's now over a week since she has passed on. And it's wonderful to see all the tributes that have been coming in for Fidina. We at Q95 did a tribute to her last Monday that went over 4 hours because people kept calling and kept sending messages regarding everything that she meant to them. So I'm very happy to see that we are celebrating the life of Fidina Frampton, who made such an incredible contribution to Dominica. But there are always the concerns about what may have caused such a severe decline in her state of health. So we have to address those concerns because right up until the morning of her passing last Wednesday, she was still requesting that someone bring her her favorite meal, her favorite soup. And by the time the person got to her in the middle of the day, she was gone. So this tells us that there was a rapid decline in Fidina's health before she passed. So today I wanted to bring you two separate interviews. So the first interview you will hear on this program is that of Dr. Dale Dangleben, Dominican by birth, a trauma surgeon right here in the U.S. And he will tell us, he will give us some information about what he thinks could have led to Fidina's death. So he did an interview with Matt Pelte on Q95 last week, and he was telling us about what could have led to her rapid death. And then the second interview you will hear is from Dr. Thompson Fontaine. He, too, as a Dominican, leader of the UWP political party in Dominica, also stopped by to tell us his concerns about the suspension of surgery. Surgery has since resumed at the hospital, but it is very concerning that in 2024, we have to deal with situations where elective surgeries are suspended in Dominica, and they just make it so lighthearted that it's only elective surgeries. But Prevention is better than cure. Elective surgeries are important because they keep us protected from more severe, more severe outcomes in terms of our physical health. So I will bring you these two interviews today. But before we do, we want to enjoy some of the great music that this year, 2024, Calypso and Buyo in Dominica. I am just enjoying the music. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm loving the songs that are coming out. So I want to bring you this number from the hitman, the Country Brooks. We're seeing our young people are really stepping into the spotlight. He did not win the competition. The competition went to the Portsmouth Secondary School, and this young lady is just phenomenal. So she did win the Buyo competition. But I wanted to bring you this song from the Hitman. I think he might make Road Match this year for 2024 if Buyo songs are allowed to re win Road Match. I'm not sure how exactly that works in Dominica. So enjoy this one, the Hitman. And then the first interview you will hear is Dr. Dale Dangleben. And then the second interview you will hear is Dr. Thompson Fontaine. So stay tuned.
listeners, and a lot from more than enough persons have been saying, can you call Dale to try to explain to us here in Dominica what may have happened? Dr. Dale, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I want to start really by extending, you know, my deepest condolences to the family. You know, obviously, I knew Fredina. I was on a show in 2015. We grew up in Point Michelle together. I really want to extend my deepest condolences, especially to Joan Frampton and the rest of the family and her brother, obviously. But you know, where do we begin? And I'm just, you know, obviously, when you get that call, I was not aware that she was hospitalized for that period of time. So throughout the last 24 hours, I had time to sit and really process all the information I was getting, you know, and then I heard the voice note, and then I sort of said, what could have happened? And I think it's important to note certain things, and I want people to really pay attention to the things I'm about to say. I know this morning, you know, you mentioned maybe clots, because a lot of information I get out of Dominica throughout the years is, well, it could be a clot. But remember, that is just speculative. There is, you have no diagnostic evidence of that. And I know right before you brought me on, you said that, you know, you're looking for medical answers. You cannot have medical answers without an autopsy in this case. So that is very, very important. If they don't have an autopsy, it will all be speculative, right? You could say that she had a clot that went to her lungs, but that's speculative. Unless you can get an autopsy that shows the clot in the vessels of the lungs, then like I said, it's only speculation. Could she have had a heart attack? Yes, that's also. But let's go back to the clinical scenario, okay? She goes into the hospital with dengue. Let's say, how was that diagnosed? Do we have the lab test in Dominica to diagnose dengue? Dengue, to be hospitalized, is really severe dengue. Mild dengue can be treated at home. It's supportive care anyway, right? Minus the fact that now it's being said that she was diabetic. Okay, she had an abscess. If she had an abscess that was so bad and she came into the hospital, why did it take almost 2 weeks to take her to the operating room, because she went last Thursday for the drainage of the abscess, right? What was that delay in draining an abscess? If I come to the hospital with an abscess that is that bad, that's an immediate, you know, within 24 hours, you're in the operating room, I'm draining your abscess, right? That's one issue. The other issue is this. You know, Fredina was a heavyset woman, right? She's in the hospital for 3 weeks. The fundamental question that I have, was she on prophylactic, you know, anticoagulation? And what does that mean? Was she on sub-Q heparin? Was she on Lovenox? Was she on any of these medications that would decrease blood clots in the leg? Because when you're in the hospital that long and you're on bed rest, or people are not getting you up and moving, you're set up to have these so-called clots, right? So she was a setup to develop clots in her leg, and thus the pulmonary embolism, which is the clot going to the lung. So that's another scenario, right? All our trauma patients, for example, when they come in, they're on what we call DVT, deep vein thrombosis prophylaxis, to prevent clots in the leg. If she's going to go to surgery, she still needs that prophylaxis, right? So did she have that? If she didn't have that, she's a setup for pulmonary embolism, which is a clot to the lung, right? Did she have an EKG, right? We're now hearing that she had, you know, certain medical comorbidities. Did she have an EKG that showed any change, right? Did she have what's called a troponin, which is a myocardial infarction marker when you're having a heart attack? Did they draw any labs in that regard? At least to get a baseline, because again, you have a patient with dengue, an abscess, coming into the hospital, right? You want to have a baseline in terms of her medical information, right? So these are the basic things that you have to ask. Now let's get back to the scenario that I'm hearing about her coming into the last 24 hours. She was complaining of shortness of breath and chest pain. These are cardinal signs of something's not right. Something's not right, right? One, what did you do about the chest pain at that time? If you did not have an EKG when she came into the hospital, did you do it right there and then? It takes a few, less than a minute to get an EKG, or at least some sort of cardiac rhythm strip to see where you are, right? What else was done in that immediate period of time? have a clot go through your lungs or you're having a heart attack, you got to protect the airway and get the patient through this, right? We talk about what's called Mona for chest pain, right? The morphine, the oxygen, the nitro, et cetera, the aspirin. You stabilize the patient. What was done? So without all that information, we really cannot come to any conclusion. And at this point, this is now a mortality that needs to be reviewed, not just from the clinical staff, but also from the coronary standpoint, the coroner standpoint, in terms of an autopsy. If you don't have an autopsy, we will never get the answer of why she passed. So these are the medical things, right? So the pulmonary embolism, which is the clot to the lungs, or a massive heart attack, are the two working diagnoses at this point. But again, I will say this, and I've said this all along, what is in place? We don't know what's in place. Did she get morphine? Did she get nitro? Did she get put on a breathing machine? What was done in that period of time to try to save her life? Remember, airway, right? ABC, airway, breathing, circulation. But you have to maintain the airway. And once you lose the airway, you lose the patient.
Well, Dr. Dale Langerman, of course, she's now at the funeral home. Do you think an autopsy should be done at this time, or she should have been left in the hospital so the autopsy could have been done?
Well, the process, with the fact that she's in the funeral home, what does that mean? You know, this is a coroner's case. This the pathologist has to do an autopsy and look at any evidence in the legs. Were there clots? One, are there clots in the lungs? Right, or take a look at the heart. Was there a myocardial infarction? How was the coronary vessel, the blood vessels to the heart? Did she have plaques in the heart? All these things are part of the process in coming to that conclusion. So the fact that her body is sitting at the funeral home already, I think we've sort of, where are we going with that? And that's what bothers me tremendously, Matt, is that we don't have the usual process that has been established in medicine and that I don't see coming out of Dominica that we used to have. Why aren't people advocating for the population when it comes to proper healthcare? Even in death, you cannot get the right things done. She needs an autopsy. She needs an autopsy to show whether or not she had a pulmonary embolism. And I will say this. If she had a pulmonary embolism, which is a clot to the lungs, I would like to know for the 3 weeks that she was at the hospital, or the 2 weeks, did she have any DVT prophylaxis, right? Deep vein thrombosis prophylaxis, which is a daily injection that you get to decrease the chances of that happening. If she had a myocardial infarction, which is a heart attack, did she have an EKG? Did she have the troponin, right? Did she have the appropriate things done when she was decompensated? Was oxygen placed? Was she intubated? All these things. Was anesthesia involved? There is so much lacking in terms of information that we can only speculate. And as a medical expert, I can tell you it's all speculative. In trauma up here, you know, the coroner comes in. The coroner will say, this is not a coroner's case. But I can tell you, most of the trauma patients, the gunshots, the this, the that, they go through an autopsy. And I can tell you, we get a report back, a very detailed report that, you know, tells us why the patient, you know, passed. So, unfortunately,
But I'm being told by some family members at this time, Dr. Dangerman, that she has been sent for and she is now doing the autopsy.
Okay. So that will give us all the information that we need in terms of where, because everyone is saying clot, 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 the autopsy will give us some information, right? And an autopsy is very, a well-done autopsy is very detailed. It will tell you the condition of all the organs and what pathology is found in these organs that would most likely contribute to her demise. And again, it's really heartbreaking because, again, this is somebody we know. She's, you know, 4 years younger than us. And this is somebody we know. This is a very productive member, another very productive member of our society who has passed on. And you have to ask yourself, is this her demise? Is this a result of the lack of healthcare in Dominica. And I can tell you at this point, based on what I'm hearing, I would say absolutely yes. And again, I know we're not there to talk about this, but if you go into the hospital for the drainage of an abscess, and you pass from that 5-6 days later, then you have to do a full analysis in the system. What we do is called M&M conference. It's called morbidity and mortality conference. I review every death in our hospital, right? I mean, in terms of the surgical department, and I have what's called secondary and tertiary, and we decide, we have discussions. What could be done differently that when the next patient comes in with a similar finding, that this does not happen? Is that process taking place as we speak? Are they looking at a root cause analysis right now to say, hey, this is where we went wrong, this is what we should have done differently, and what do we do next time when we have a patient with that similar situation? Well, how many ventilators are on island, Matt? Do you know?
No idea. But I'm hearing too from a very reliable source that the reason why Fidina is at the funeral home or was at the funeral home is that the chiller at the hospital may not be working. It has been, you know, not working for a while, and that is why, you know, there are no coronavirus cases at this time.
Right. So, you see, and again, that this compounds the whole situation that we've talked about, the failed healthcare system, and I got reliable information that the reason why they were using Demerol is because they've not had morphine for 6 months, right? That's another thing that the public should have been notified about. 6 months without morphine, so they had to substitute with Demerol, and then they ran out of Demerol. So the question I have is, was there a delay in diagnosis with Fidina in terms of the timing to take her to the surgery for the drain of an abscess? If you're in the hospital for an abscess, that needs to be drained immediately and taken back maybe the next day, right? Because again, I'm hearing a voice postoperative. It sounded like she was okay. What else was missed in her care?
And then the family member is now reporting to me that she had a fever for some time. See?
Well, yes. I mean, with a fever, I mean, with the abscess, that's expected. And you drain the abscess, you pack the abscess, you keep the patient on, well, was she on under appropriate antibiotics? Did we send, was the wound cultured? Did we grow the bacteria that was in there to be very specific with the antibiotics that she needed to be treated with? These are all so many questions that we can ask. And again, it's in retrospect, but again, without the healthcare providers talking, without the Ministry of Health talking, you know, how do we find out? I've always said for the last 10 years that we practice in medicine in Dominica in the dark. There is no data, right? There is no process in terms of resolution.
And again, you know, somebody's requesting or suggesting that maybe an independent pathologist should be requested by the family, in his opinion, an independent pathologist.
Well, you know, I don't know how the process works in Dominica. And again, you know, there might be costs and things like that. And, you know, how many of them are available in Dominica? These are the things that, again, as the population, we have to be worried about. Because, you know, I could tell you, I read Fidina's brother's note. And it really just, you know, tore me apart because, like he said, you know, and this is what I've been talking about. What happens when it visits your doorstep? When it's your family? You know what I mean? And again, this is very, very heartbreaking that this is what has happened, you know, and we as a people, we have to start speaking about, you know, about these things. I've been screaming from the mountaintop, and people try to vilify, not realizing that I have the insurance, and Garrett said he can fly out and all these things, but you were there, and you're suffering, and you're dying, and your loved ones are dying, and nothing is changing. There is no morphine, there is no Demerol. Surgery is being suspended. What are you doing? What are we doing as a people? This is Dominica is a failed state in every aspect, every sector. Dominica has failed, right? Even the animals don't have feed right now, as I'm hearing. what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We lost for Dinah, and we have to ask ourselves, you know, is this a preventable death? And I know I've spoken to this on, about this on your show several times, this idea of preventable death, and people have challenged me on, well, there is no such thing as a preventable death because it's in God's hands. But I think that's the problem. That's where things lay. We have to be more open and honest with ourselves when we look at these things. There are preventable deaths if we have better health care in Dominica. And not just better health care, but again, the staffing is part of the health care.
As you said that there, Dr. Dale, it just brought something to my mind. And I'm sure you, like everybody else, or many people, have heard a voice note circulating from the very ward where this patient was, talking about Fulda in the Frampton, and some assistant, some nurse or somebody is spreading some false information about what was going on there. And that's so unprofessional.
So, you know, and I have spoken about this too, and that's something in Dom. This nurse should be fired immediately on the spot. No process, no idea of asking her what happened. Just based on her putting out that voice note, she should be fired immediately, right? And that's another thing in Dominica, right? Patient health information, PHI, is never, is not protected. People come on media, they talk about other people's things. You cannot do that. That's a violation of HAIR. You will get fired for this. You will be escorted out by security. We need, well, again, this shows, I listened to the voice note, and it almost made me cry because, you know, it's gossip. It's garbage, right? Somebody is in your care. Your job is to make sure that this patient does well, not go out there and talk about this thing. I mean, this is disparaging. This is horrible. This person should be identified and should be fired on the spot. No going to HR and having discussion. Dominica, we need change. We need process. And again, you know, this has really hit home. This has really hit home. And again, we need to talk about it all, not just the system, but our individual care also. And I want to take the opportunity to say that because I know folks are listening. We have to take our health into our own hands also. You know, I'm hearing, you know, she's diabetic. She was this, she was that. And again, I don't know for Diana's medical history, but we also have to do better so we don't go to this. And another thing, Matt, is we joke about this. We call it the mockpital, the gentle rest. We make jokes about these things, and it's no joking matter. It's no joking matter. This is not a joke. People are going in there for basic procedures and dying. You know, I'm reading stuff on Facebook. People are talking about their family members going in for one thing and ended up on dialysis. And we have to pay attention to these things. I'm pleading with the Dominican public that this has come, the chickens have come home to roost, and we have to do better. And the way to do better is what our people like me and you and so many other people have been screaming from the mountaintop is, yes, we need to revamp the system, and we need a change of government. This government is stale. They fail the people. They bankrupt the country. And we cannot even afford medication for the hospital. We can't afford spinal needle. And look at what happened. This a couple of days ago, we were talking about Demerol. And now we're talking about, you know, burying for Dinah. I mean, oh my goodness, man. This is heartbreaking.
Dr. Dale Dangerman, as usual, thank you. Of course, trying to get some answers to the many questions we've been asking for the past few hours there. Very telling, man. Health system, very telling. Thank you again, Dr. Dale. Thank you.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
How much Dominican history do you know? Want to learn some fun facts? We have a great and fun way to test your knowledge and learn more about our history. Get your copy of Dominic Anu, Dominica in Puzzle. Fun for the whole family. Available now on Amazon.com. Visit pushpast10.com to learn more. Email us at dominicainpuzzle@gmail.com or call 877-698-9894.
You're on.
Good evening, fellow Dominicans and others of you who are with us. Let me thank you for listening. Today, we are faced with a growing healthcare crisis that needs immediate attention by this government and the people of Dominica. When it comes to healthcare, it should never be viewed as strictly a political issue or impacting only one group in society. You will all agree with me that any one of us at any time may be in need of quality healthcare. Please don't think for 1 minute that this commentary on our looming healthcare crisis is for the purpose of scoring cheap political points, as some of you may have indicated. Far from it. My address to you is born out of my deep personal interest and desire in ensuring the very best for the people of our beautiful country. Further, I draw from the moral strength of thousands of my fellow Dominicans, including those who voted for this current government, in the hope that their quality of life would be improved, and who, like me, simply wish and pray for the very best for this country. Most of you would have seen or heard in the recent days about a memo from Dr. Blanc, the hospital medical director, pointing to the fact that, quote, due to significantly diminished supplies of pethidine as well as spinal needles, the elective surgical list will have to be temporarily suspended effective Monday, January 15, 2024, end of quote. This suspension of elective surgeries is just the latest in an ongoing and increasingly alarming list of ailments plaguing our healthcare system. Problems range from demoralized staff to political meddling in the affairs of the hospital, including in the hiring of its board, to the lack of basic supplies, failure to retain professional staff, and an overcrowded mental facility, as well as an overall compromised healthcare system. In some cases, foreign medical personnel are given preference and privileges over our own doctors. Local doctors, based on their political leanings, have in the past been denied access to using the premier hospital to conduct surgeries and other operations. Indeed, most of us would have known or may have heard of at least one person who went to the hospital expecting to return, but who never did. This spate of untimely deaths, which have seemingly spared no one, including newborn babies and young people, is an ongoing problem that is made worse by the unavailability of basic access to drugs, including painkillers and other much-needed medical supplies. A closer look at our healthcare system will indicate one that is largely ignored by this government. A look at the country's budget, for example, over the last few years, will show very little emphasis being placed on healthcare. For example, in the 2014-15 budget, only 49.2 million EC dollars was devoted to recurrent spending on health. That is just about 11% of the recurrent spending. 8 years later, there has been very little change at just 11.9%. Fellow Dominicans, a way must be found to divert resources from wasteful spending, such as on a too big and bloated government and cabinet, hundreds of thousands in personal expenses on a monthly basis on one person, the prime minister, and useless overseas trips, amongst others. You too must look at the hundreds of millions of dollars from the sale of our passports and indicate or request that this money be redirected to stave off this looming disaster in our healthcare system. It is well known that when senior government members fall ill, they are promptly flown overseas for treatment. Let us not also forget that the Prime Minister himself boasted publicly that, quote, if his children fall ill, he can fly them out. It may be for this and other reasons best known to this government why our healthcare system is so completely ignored and in such a mess. But what about the thousands of Dominicans who struggle on a daily basis to make ends meet and who are unable to travel overseas and who cannot afford costly medication? Citizens routinely shy away from seeking medical treatment, even for preventative purposes, fearful of not being in a position to meet that cost. Health centers across the island are in need of repair and the stocking of medical supplies. In the village of Granford, for example, a health center built in 1986 has been torn down and after 2 years yet to be replaced. Windows are missing at the one in Rivière Syrac for many months now. And across the country, health facilities are in similar or in a constant state of disrepair. A new hospital in the village of Marigot is without basic supplies, and the list goes on and on. It is important that we be reminded that according to the World Health Organization, quote, health is a fundamental human right that is enshrined in international human rights instruments and the WHO Constitution. Every human being, and that includes every single Dominican, has the right to the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health. This is a right, not a privilege. Therefore, when a government neglects the healthcare of its citizens through a lack of funding, quality of personnel, and other such issues, it creates an avoidable humanitarian crisis in its own country. We all know the wise saying that, quote, your health is your wealth. And the state of our current healthcare system is further contributing to the abject poverty of our fellow Dominicans. Without a good and functioning healthcare system, the very future development of our country is at stake. No health means no ability to be productive or to engage in the creation of wealth now or in the future. A poor healthcare system says that those who are responsible are destroying the dignity of the human person. Without health, we're simply unable to flourish physically, mentally, or spiritually. While it is true that currently, I, as the leader of the largest opposition party in Dominica, and neither me nor the party that I lead, the UWP, is in a position to make immediate changes, I wish to assure the Dominican public that when we're entrusted with governing this country, the healthcare and well-being of our citizens will be among our highest priorities. In the meantime, I wish to take the liberty to make some suggestions to this government that would indicate some concrete steps that can be taken to immediately avert this looming health crisis and to return the country to normal. Number one, that the government appoint a special committee to review the current state of healthcare on the island and to make recommendations to address, among others, medical supply issues and sourcing, the use of medical facilities, affordability, and access to the health system, as well as other ways to better and improve on what currently exists. Number two, the government to immediately strengthen, source, and avail the hospital system of the much needed drugs and supplies that it deserves and it needs at this time. Number three, immediately fire the hospital board and replace the political appointees with true professionals who understand the health sector and who can contribute in a meaningful and unbiased way to its improvement. Number four, reach out and systematically engage the scores of Dominican medical personnel living outside of Dominica who have shown interest in contributing to the improvement of the country's health system. And number five, reduce wasteful spending and redirect those resources towards the health system. Fellow Dominicans, at the end of the day, the health of a nation should never be compromised. A healthy and well-cared-for population is critical and essential in any country's onward development. Now more than ever, urgent action is required in order to repair and restore our national health system. And the government of Dominica must act, and it must act now to stave off this problem. All right, so that was a prepared statement that I thought I would read to you. And now having read this prepared statement, I'm going to basically determine if there is any questions or other things that are coming to me from you. I know you, those of you that are online, have the ability to actually send questions or comments. But I really wanted to do this because I feel deep down that this government has not done enough. It has not done enough to really put an end to what we have in Dominica. It has not done enough to really, you know, improve the lives of so many people. And when you hear about what is going on, when you hear about these issues that we've been talking about, the issue of lack of surgeries being canceled, and you hear the confusion that is being raised even by the prime minister, but by the Minister of Health, you know, confusing elective surgeries and what exactly elective surgeries. The fact of the matter is, if tomorrow you are down for tonsils, that could be an emergency. You know, tonsils could prevent you from breathing, for example. Tonsils could prevent you from, you know, it can actually lead to your death. So to say that if you have tonsillitis, this is not an emergency is completely wrong. So I'm just saying this to say that we really need to do more in this country to safeguard our health system. And importantly as well, when you think about the fact that there are thousands and thousands of Dominicans living in the diaspora who want to return home, who wishes to return home, but who are scared, who are afraid to do so because they fear that they will not get the quality of healthcare that they need, especially as they approach middle age and beyond and retirement age. So I think it is in our best interest in Dominica to fix our healthcare system, to make it competitive, to make it be such that Dominicans who want to return to Dominica will feel comfortable in doing so. Imagine the possibility of hundreds, if not thousands, of returning Dominicans who can contribute their experience, their expertise, you know, who can contribute so much to Dominica. So we need to do this. We need to act on this. And the time to do this is now. The time to do this is now. And really, we cannot afford to put this off. And like I said, it's about setting your priorities. It's about the government determining what is the best course of action. And looking at all of the wasteful spending, I listed some of this wasteful spending, like, you know, this bloated cabinet. If you cut back on the size of the cabinet, you can have some more money to put towards the health sector. If you cut back upon the wasteful overseas trip that does not really benefit the country, but just is really a trip for the boys and so on, if you can cut back on that to only essential travel, you save hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars over a few years that can be plowed back into the health system. So there are lots of ways. The personal expenses of the prime minister, if he would just go back to being a normal person with normal expenses instead of $64,000 a month, all of these are areas where the government of Dominica can save so that it can put on the health sector. But this can only happen if it makes this a priority. In the absence of making this a priority, then we'll go nowhere. So I think that's important. You know, I spent a better part of today talking to many health professionals, both in Dominica and outside of Dominica, because I wanted to get a better sense as to what can be done and how we can do it. So when I speak, it's a reflection of countless hours of conversations with people who know about the health system. I'm not a health expert, but I can draw on the expertise and the experience of many health experts, which I have done. And I am very grateful to the many persons who contributed, to the many persons who gave ideas, and we were able to discuss this very important issue, because that is a critical issue for the country. If our people do not have quality health care, if every time they go to the hospital, they fear not returning, if our people cannot be healthy, they cannot plan, they cannot work, they cannot contribute to society. So there is a direct link between a quality healthcare system and the quality of life that we can live in our country, and the way in which we contribute towards its development. So I'd really urge the government to view this as a crisis, and as a crisis that needs immediate and urgent attention. We cannot wait to fix the system. It is broken. It is broken, but it can be fixed. It can be fixed. There was a time in Dominica when we had quality healthcare. There was a time in Dominica when our hospital systems were working. And you think of all of the great doctors we've had, the Dr. McIntyres, the Dr. Grell, the Dr. Sorrendos, and all of these great Dominican doctors who've contributed over many, many years. Dr. Carissa Yeten, who did so much work in the primary health care system to alleviate, to uplift, and to build our health system. And today, the health system is broken. Yes, we have a new hospital, the China Friendship Hospital, and I give thanks to the Chinese government for helping us with a new facility. But it's not good enough to just have a new facility. This facility is useless if you do not have the drugs, the painkillers, the medication, like Demetrol that we've been talking about, and the one that's missing now. If you don't have gauze and swabs and basic things that are needed so that when the patient comes in, they have the comfort to be able to heal. And so a lot of work remains to be done. A lot of work has to be done. And we as Dominicans need to continue to demand that this is done, that this happens, okay? We can no longer stand by and see the wanton destruction of Dominica's health system. Now is the time for action. Now is the time for the government of Dominica to do what is right by the people of Dominica and take decisive action to ensure that the health system in Dominica is safeguarded and to ensure that the health system in Dominica will survive and will be better for all the people of Dominica. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for your involvement. Thank you for your many comments that you've already posted on Facebook. We'll get a chance to interact a little later. But I want to thank all the news outlets that are carrying this at this time. And to all the people of Dominica, I want to encourage you to continue to demand what is right by you. And one of the things that you can demand, no matter what your political persuasion is to demand that this government builds up a healthcare system that is rivaled nowhere else, a healthcare system that all of Dominica, including its prime minister, will be proud to be able to participate in. Thank you, fellow Dominicans, and I wish you a wonderful evening and a wonderful afternoon wherever you are. God bless you.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Listening to two interviews. The first one you heard was from Dr. Dale Dangleben, and the second one you heard was from Dr. Thompson Fontaine, two very prestigious doctors who are expressing their concerns for the healthcare system in Dominica. So as we move along in the program, as promised, we will talk about how are you staying motivated this year? And as I always say, it begins with committing to 10 minutes. So my book, Push Past 10, the motto for the book, the tagline for the book is commit to 10 minutes and see how far you will go. Don't forget, if you're looking for a copy of this book to stay motivated, this year, as we see the second month of the year is already quickly approaching us, you can log on to my website, www.pushpast10.com. That is PUSHPAST10.com. And you just click on the picture to get yourself a copy of the book. And while you're there, check out the other books that we have listed on the website. We have our Anupali Creole. We have a book from Dr. Triffy, as well as Alex Powell. Bruno has his Demiurgina book listed with us as well. So we continue to use our platforms to promote our own. This is one of the concepts that we promote here on Untapped Potential. We use our platforms to promote our own. So I thought it would be very helpful to have these books listed on Push Past 10. And while you're on the website, don't forget to click the media area for the programs you may have missed along the way, including Untapped Potential and Roots Connections. So we have a lot going on the website. You want to also follow us on YouTube and Facebook to stay connected, stay updated with everything that we're doing with Push Past 10, Roots Connections, and Untapped Potential. So again, PUSHPAST10. On Facebook and YouTube to stay connected. So today I wanted us to take a look at the beginning of this book that I wrote back in 2020. And it begins by saying, "Today was a miserable day. I planned to run 5 miles, eat healthy, and get on with the rest of my day, my normal Tuesday routine. It rained all day. I was in no mood for another day of treadmill running. Instead, I retreated to my favorite recliner, and before I knew it, I had downed a bag of chips and dip, 3 mini cupcakes, and an entire oversized turkey sandwich. You would think that after 15 years of living this fit lifestyle that I would have a handle on a day like this. The truth is, this lifestyle never gets easier. If you are looking for a quick fix or an easy way to lose weight and keep it off, you might as well stop reading and keep your current lifestyle. If, however, you are ready to embrace the reality that this is a one day at a time, fail more times that you can count, and finally learn to manage a healthy lifestyle, then you have come to the right place. What keeps me going? Tomorrow is a new day. Like I have done for the last 15 years, I will set my gym clothes tonight. I will drive straight to the gym after taking our daughter to school. I will push my treats to the back of the fridge. Yes, that actually works for me. And I will plan my meals for the week from tonight. It goes without saying that the key to managing a fit lifestyle is to plan ahead. None of this is new to you, but the missing piece is that no one tells you to prepare to embrace failure. I'm going to read that again. None of this is new to you, but the missing piece is that no one tells you to prepare to embrace failure. This has been the key to my success, and I am here to show you why. Once I understood that I can recover from these bad days, which sometimes last an entire week, I was able to embrace the challenge of living fit." So just the very first page of the book, Push Past 10, which is a motivational tool, a simple guide to help us to all get back on track, because we're already seeing that January 2024 is coming to an end, and we might be wondering if we will ever be able to get on track with the goals that we set for ourselves. And keep in mind that this book relates not only to fitness, but it relates to any goal that you may have in mind that you're struggling to attain. So again, I want to thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. I always look forward to spending this time with you as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So I look forward to being in your company next Tuesday, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. At the same time, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead. So until then, remember that your life story is your strength. The challenges you face today, the challenges you faced in the past have prepared you for the challenges that you face today. So remember to tap into your potential. Stay strong, stay positive, and stay engaged until we meet again right back here next week at the same time. You have yourself a productive week.